The Wisdom of Mary Thomas. Mary Thomas is a name known to many. For such a tiny woman, she had a big impact on everyone she met, from her humble beginnings to her time in the residential school in Kamloops, through to her adult years drenched in poverty and despair. She overcame obstacles that would have destroyed most people. She told us over and over again that the only way she could keep going was through the love of her children and her passion for her native culture. Spend the day with her children and grandchildren, teaching her traditional crafts and telling stories was, for her, the best days, especially if it ended with a trip to the bingo hall. Despite her many accomplishments, accolades, and awards, she remained, to the very end, a humble woman, wanting only to help wherever she could and asking nothing in return. She was sharp and intelligent, with a quick wit and enough political savvy to know when to speak and when to be silent. The love she gave was returned threefold, never more evident than at the service to honor her passing, when people of all ages, color, even nationality were in attendance to pay their respects. Mary Thomas, beloved and missed.
Born in Shuswap.
In Shuswap? And
okay.
And does she remember at all what her father did?
Kanak stat me lol la papa aha ka konam tnses ke taso shien chok skike aha kon mai kan mai aw sa qayt ma sa aha ka khalaw lokhmas ma khalaw lokhmas kash.
It was done by trolling, and they have this ice fishing in the winter. Just about any way they caught fish was made mostly with a line and hook.
Mm-hmm. They didn't, he didn't, well, of course, since he was blind, he couldn't. But did they trap fish? Did they build fish traps as well, or was it mostly just... She
said, I don't think so, because he was blind. He couldn't work.
Oh, yeah.
You said, unless, I guess, somebody, you know, helped him.
Mm-hmm.
With that, but as far as using fish trap, he couldn't do it because he was blind.
Yeah. What about her mother? Did her mother help?
Her mother, she doesn't barely remember her mother. Her mother drowned at one, I guess she must have been about 3 or 4 years old.
Oh, okay.
She's too young to remember her mother.
Mm-hmm. Did she live then with her father and an aunt? Or?
Her grandmother, her father's mother, brought them up.
Her father's mother?
Yeah.
So it was her mother or her grandmother that taught her how to fish and how to prepare fish and pick berries and that sort of thing?
Cats has in his collar, his wild, and his collar, and his dam, her whites, come on, what you make.
The grandmother taught her all that, how to tan hides, and make moccasins, and pick berries, and prepare fish. The old grandmother showed.
Did she have many brothers and sisters?
When Kwaklok got some master,
there was two brothers and her and a sister.
And was she the youngest or the oldest or the middle?
She was her mother and father. Fairly young when her her mother died.
Yeah. So did her older sister babysit her a lot?
When can Macarit no husk chihomen is just got to away or to huaka? I could wait with the oye, say, get no way, it's got chamber has chakas got mama.
Ma, upon the way, it's the hut.
Yes, I guess her older sister was quite up in age when their mother died. It was mostly the old grandmother they all stayed with, and she must have been very kind also.
Does she remember when her older sister got married?
Kaksan haistak to marie, she got chimicus and macarate.
She barely remember. Must have been quite young yet. Yeah. Her older sister was way older than her. Mm. She was, in fact, the oldest of the family.
Oh, I see.
And I guess people at them days, they had their children spaced.
Yeah.
They had their own method of child birth control.
What sort of berries and roots did they pick? What does she remember? What were the most common berries that they picked? Like in the spring, what did they go out and gather? And then in the middle of the summer and the fall, what sort of cycle was it?
Till high stack, I could stamp me, that's allows, basic and casa oys, the steamers and the optimus. Stamp me, it's coolest, basic, as a eight nut, this east.
Yeah,
yeah. Oh, why this will cast like a limo?
Which one was his bad clip would see, which hostess? When a flower hole. Don't the supper of it coldest as it closed. Oh, I was creating a canoe of coldest as east and as east.
The men.
And it's better to go so long from it to see.
The men looked after the fish and the meat. The women, they dug roots, picked berries, and dried for the winter use.
Mm-hmm.
This, she said the women had more to do than the men because there was a variety of different types of fruit that ripen according to the season and the different types of roots that they had to prepare and put away for the winter use.
Yeah. In the fall, then, or when the season, berry season came, you know, for the first big berry crop, was there a ceremony where they all got together before they went out picking berries, or was it just an individual family?
Oh,
ma, I see gay lake exhumed,
ma.
Ma'am, corners of weed, a spark of the shit, and no knock off, buck, white, and blood, good. My mother says it's an animal, yes, a woman's nurse, and my family's magic, and so I let speck all I want to get exhumed, who tell it, yah, must have been an alien, my little hockey, little hock, or
just when they prepared for these ceremonies, the men, they went out and they got deer meat
and all the
good meats they could find, and the women, they prepared the fruit and different types of roots, and they put that all in the middle of a banquet table, and they all circled around, and they done their dancing and rejoicing for their winter foods. And that was in the time when she was just a little girl. She can remember this, and she's coming with something that they used to do when she was a young woman then.
Start me makchu tapas what's that like and that says kamat lho and mal khamas.
Yana la pina
ma.
At pina ma shaykh masdu. Akhu bashi tat bashi khalite.
Jesus. Later on in years when I took part and we used to put our food on tables.
And
in the olden days when she was a little girl, they put buckskin they could find, they put that on the ground and put their food on there, but since lately here they had to put it on tables.
And being it left a smammer's worry as to his damage or his boom.
And says, just lately here, after she was married and started having children, is when they started doing these drum dancing again. She says the reason why the Indians stopped using their ceremonial dancing and that was when the priests came in and they scared them and told them that they didn't let go their Indian way of dancing, Indian belief. That the devil would get them and they'd go to hell. So that was a gap in between, where they had to stop these different ceremonial dances and different ceremonial occasions until just lately here it started all over again.
Yeah. Does she remember in the ceremonials? How many a year there were there a regular number, or did just when people wanted to? I mean, were there some for each season, does she remember?
Indians
were too busy moving around wherever the time of the year where they have their hunting grounds and the place where they pick their berries and done their fishing. They were too busy collecting food for the winter. They didn't have time to hold these powwows until in the fall when everything was collected and everything was put away for the winter. That is when they held their powwow, more or less a Thanksgiving, and happy to be able to get together and rejoice for all the food that they had taken in for the winter.
Mm-hmm. Was there anything, I guess you'd call it a first fruits ceremony, when the berries first started ripening in the late summer?
Kanaksan high staff kalmoh as say says the silas to come in says a gym and his bulwak all this kataksa oi this pakpak and his
ma'okum ma'okum
She doesn't remember having ceremonial singing or dancing when the berries were, first ripened.
Yeah.
The only thing she remembered was, I guess the Saskatoon was about the first fruit that they picked. They had to go out and they picked, the oldest of the women went and got a little basket full.
Mm-hmm.
When they were just ripe, one here and there, they just picked the ripest and they brought it home, and the chief had to eat first.
Ah.
Yeah. And they had their more or less like a blessing to the fruit before the rest of the women could go out and pick the fruit. That's all she can remember. But they didn't have no singing or dancing that she can remember.
Okay. Does she remember cooking? Any particular style of cooking that was very different than white cooking? Before the steel or iron pots, does she remember ever using rocks to cook with, you know, putting hot rocks in water to boil the water? Does she remember ever doing any of that? She doesn't remember them doing it, but her grandmother in later years, I guess, used to tell her how they cooked their meals, but she didn't actually see it done.
Mm-hmm.
But they already, when she came to, you know, realize cooking and stuff like that, they'd already had pots and aluminum pans and stuff. But she said her granny used to tell her how they cooked their food was when they took this cedar bark and the white pine bark, they cut them in strips and peeled them.
Mm-hmm.
And they take this, it would be the cedar root or the inner bark of a maple. They stripped that, and you can tie with that. They tied the ends of the bark and shaped it like a basket, and then they build a fire and heat it. Certain kind of rocks they use, some of them they can split and shoot like a...
Yeah.
No, they make a big bang and it'll fly and hit you, but they knew what kind of rocks to pick, and they heated that until it was red hot and put that in that water, and it boiled the water to cook their meals.
Yeah.
I guess that's she learned this from the old grandmother, but she never actually had to eat her food that way.
Yeah. Did she ever take berries, dried berries, and mix it with some of the oil from ulkan?
Kana aska sta me ali wa kalmo hak tmak sis nis paqa o age kh es nis es qasus yan kana kho akwa
ma
Da agat le da agat stam hoitza.
Da agat.
The only thing she knows is what they mixed it with salmon eggs.
With salmon eggs.
Oh, Bertram Coulset has but first of it to make this next cut because it's it. So that's how she took it, you say, not the egg. She thought she looked and succeeds with the
first. I don't know what it's called that.
And in the fall time of its canal, she's a weakest canal.
The very last thing they pick in the fall would be, they mixed in their deer meat. They boiled their deer meat in little cubes and put this in the broth and ate it. Oh, you'd know what they'd call it. They're little red berries, and the leaves are shiny little round leaves, and they're sort of, lay close to the ground. They look like cranberries.
Oh, yeah.
But you see an awful lot of that around in the bushes.
Yeah, I know
what
the
would you
mean.
Call that? The leaves are little round leaves. They're about this and about that.
Yeah.
They're very shiny and smooth.
Yeah, I can see.
And they come in vines, like about so long, and then the little berries are...
Yeah, I know exactly what you mean, but I
well,
don't know
they
what
pick
the name
this
is.
And they put that in their deer meat, boiled deer meat, in the broth, and they drank all the broth along with this. And that was the very last thing they picked in the fall. That's the last of the fruit. She says other than the Saskatoon. The Saskatoon they mixed with their salmon eggs. But this, the little red berries that you pick way late in the fall, they used in their deer meat and also in their fish broth.
How would they store berries for the winter?
John, Mrs. Alcata was stamus expakpak, agat how stamus noko?
Ma, ma, what dem na ho?
It's yak, yanke nohoks, John, it's yak am. But yak, was aids, go, but what, expakpak, agnoke noho, met as hosa?
Ma, not was for them, wait. Took a year, 6 inches, but it did. My shot got me. A pearl, mamma. Machi, then, Mrs. Kutchetsi, I asked. I said, hello. My name is Kutchmas, Machin, then, Mrs. Machi, little. Yeah, my spot was six, Miss. My horse. Oh,
yes. The Saskatoon, that's the very first fruit they pick. They dry that. They lay that out in the sun.
Mm-hmm.
I guess they used to make this, for drying their fruits. They weave the bulrush.
Oh, yes.
And weave that into mats, and that's where they spread out their fruits to dry. And the soft fruits, like you say, the wild raspberries and the supalali, the foam berries, and strawberries, any soft fruits, they mashed that and they took cedar and they split that in little flat bits and they lined that close together, and this is where they lay all the soft fruit to dry. And when they're dry, they come out in cake-like, you know, big chunks of cake to dried fruit. Well, they took that and they put that in layers and layers and put that away for the winter.
So
and everything was all dried. They didn't boil or can any. Well, they had no jars to can in anyway. Everything was dried.
Yeah, and it was all sun-dried.
Yeah, all sun-dried.
Okay.
I said that peeing did what? It's a special hold to the book stand this. what colossus, what weapons, what...
I guess, stammestig, I saw always, as nek tjuk pok stes, me, mchanka, no po?
Me, mchanka, schweigas, stammestig, kutes,
yeah. I guess, before... The sacks come in, or flour bags, or the burlap.
Mm-hmm.
Before that, they used the same thing. They made containers out of this bulrush, and they stored away their dried fruit in that. And also, well, there's the birch bark baskets,
yeah,
and cedar root baskets, but mainly the bulrush, they weaved and formed into, shaped into basket, right? And they put all their dried fruits in there to put away for the winter.
I see. Now with the salmon, you know, when the fish, when they caught and dried the fish, did they mostly smoke it, or did they do a certain amount of sun drying as well?
Dus palanden chokoket of ali no hoe if it's quick stemmes. Man, quas is da quotes at it has stainless, this is hawatas. Chokoket of no cornish quahasta.
Chokoinish,
chokoinish. Yeah, hot and 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 hot
and hot.
It's too damp here in the interior. It gets too damp in the evenings, and you can't dry your fish like they do down in the Fraser Canyon. Over there, they have these rocks, and it's hot, and they sun dry their fish on the rocks. Here, the interior, it gets too damp in the evening, so the only way they can put away their fish for the winter is the smoke racks.
I see. Did they do very much deer meat, smoked it too, or did they mostly just smoke salmon?
Oh, ach, die Kometa noch hochgekatsch, ach, das ist eh.
Ma, ach, die Kometa, da ist mal ein Schwisch.
Yeah, they also smoked their meat. They dried them by smoking them on smoke racks. They, same as the salmon, they dried them all.
Did they count on being able to hunt all winter, or did they try to dry quite a bit of deer and bear meat before the winter would come? They
have all the dry meat they can put away, and during the winter they have, you'll get tired of this dried meat, you know. The Indians made their own snowshoes out of raw hides, raw deer hides. Well, you got tired of smoked meat, or the men put on their snowshoes, they went out and got fresh, not only deer meat, they ate rabbit, and there's birds, there's all kinds of pheasant all year round, and they had plenty of duck meat, and plenty, more plentiful than it is today.
Mm-hmm.
You didn't have to go that far to.
Muskrat.
They ate muskrat meat, they ate beaver meat. That was all year-round food to them.
Continuing on with hunting, when they went out and hunted, I understand that after a person shot a deer, that he would generally sing a song or do a dance after he had shot the deer. Did they do that with with all animals or just with large animals? Or
I've never heard of them doing that with a deer. It's just a bear.
Just the bear.
You can, of course, collapse if it's a deer. Then it's a ball, it's to miss.
I can just go please that it could have this not to do.
The grizzly bear has a song too, but he
the bear, when they kill a bear and you go to skin the bear, the person that skins the bear has to sing this.
The words to that goes the bear, he's
at work.
The bear, he's walking along the hillsides, and he's got this lonely, lost feeling. When he goes to eat, his food just drops. He cannot hold his food. It just drops. And he just looks around. When he gets up on a high hill, he looks around. Everything is just loneliness. And this blue jay is supposed to be a sign of death.
Mm-hmm.
He says, and I wondered why the blue jay landed on my head. This is what he was trying to tell me about. And he felt sad, and he just felt like crying. Says, this is the reason why this all happened to me, that death was right behind me. The bear is supposed to be the one singing this, that he was so lonely, he was crying, and that death was right behind him. That's when the song you're singing for the bear.
That
song for the bear, when you kill the bear. Otherwise, I don't think they have any kind of a singing done for any other kind of
animal. Can you ask her if she remembers songs for any other animals as well?
She was telling me about the porcupine. She can't remember that. We were talking about that yesterday, and that's the only one she can remember is the bear.
Oh, I see.
I was doing that porcupine quill work, and she was telling me that the porcupine has a tune. They never did have any dancing or any kind of ceremonial, not that she can remember.
Mm-hmm.
So the only thing is if somebody spots the salmon coming up, they start running up to the other village and telling everybody that the salmon is starting to come up, and they have everybody's rejoicing, but they don't have a regular powwow ceremony or anything like that.
Was there a particular dance called the salmon dance, though?
No, I don't think she... Dancing is something they never did to do too much of. They were just so happy to be able to get their fish and start putting it away for the winter.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't think of any, not that she can recall, maybe later,
okay.
You know, further.
Yeah. Continuing on with the hunting then, with tanning skins, did they ever use salmon oil or just grains for tanning skins?
They used deer brain and also salmon heads.
Salmon heads.
Yeah, that was good for curing the deer hide.
Yeah. Did they use the same things for all kinds of hides? Like, would you use the same thing for bear hide as for deer hide? They can use that for any kind of bear hide or rabbit. And she said the main thing is the smoking. That's what really preserves it from. And they use certain types of rotted tree, like the jack pine and birch. What was the other one? I'm beginning to forget my Indian names for trees. Hemlock? I think. Is it hemlock tree, sir? The one she was saying. What was that? Oxygen?
Birch or oxygen.
A mole?
A mole.
Poplar?
Yeah.
Yeah, she said if you use a certain types, they help to prevent this hardening of the deer hides, or any hide for that matter.
Well, if you wanted a white buckskin, you wouldn't smoke it.
Right? No.
Well, how would you keep the white buckskin from going hard and frayed? This white leather, it hasn't been touched with smoke, but they never did use white leather in the olden days for the simple reason the buckskin was their daily, and you, regardless of the weather, you had to use the buckskin clothing, and if it got wet, without the smoke on it, they tend to turn hard. Smoke is what preserves it. So the white buckskin then was something that came later.
Yes, this she says they never had that. The buckskin, when you tan it, tends to be pure white.
Yeah.
When it's finished, when you're finished tanning it, but then you have to touch it with smoke in order to preserve it. And this white buckskin, she says, came out here just lately. Some white people thought it'd be nice to have a pair of white buckskin gloves. But then you make a mistake, you get that wet just once, and they tend to turn hard, and they're not guaranteed, you know, for any length of time.
Yeah.
You may as well just hang it on the wall
for decoration.
Yeah.
The old Indian paint, the ones that they used for painting on the rocks. Does she remember how they were made?
The only thing she remembers seeing, they didn't use this on rocks. It was more or less a wall paint.
Mm-hmm.
She doesn't know what they used for writing on rocks, which is, permanent. But what they used for war paint or paint on the face was to get this red clay. That's what they used for Adam's Lake. They used to go all the way up to Adam's Lake to get this red, real red clay. And they used that on their face.
Does she have any idea of what some of the paintings on the rocks meant? Were they just personal things that a person put on the rock, or did they ever leave stories?
It seems to me I know that answer. It's it would be a personal thing that I found out. It's when a young boy or a young girl turn to that age where, like, the girl first menstruates, or the boys
mm-hmm.
change a voice,
mm-hmm.
go from child to adolescent. They were taught to be, that's when you learn to be independent. And they had to get up early in the morning. They went out. Yeah, the first thing you did was jump in the lake or in the river. Bath first thing in the morning. You bath at night, what they call hapchi, means sundown, after dark. You had to go and swim day and night, year round, regardless of what the weather was. You had to go and swim. And this was what they call searching for their manitou,
mm-hmm.
their spirit. And whatever you had this long, you just were so tired that you fell asleep of hunger and, I imagine, half starvation
mm-hmm.
and fatigue. You just plain tired. That's when your manitou came to you. And whatever you, whatever spirit came to you in your sleep, is the spirit that's supposed to guide you through your life. And this is what they draw on the rock. This is a very personal. They put this certain painting on the rock. If it's underwater, they have the downward stroke, and then they have the, if it's a, say, a little fawn, or maybe they either put the fawn or just the little hoofs. Mark on the rock. I've heard this tell.
Did she go through that herself as well?
Yeah, it's, you know, it's,
Because
her granny wouldn't let her.
She says now that she's an Indian doctor,
she never did go looking for a Manitou.
Oh. Did she, you know, the first menstruation, did she go off by herself? To stay by herself for a month or something like this, like they used to?
No, well, that's what she was just telling you. She never did. She slept with her granny all the time.
Oh. When she became a woman, time, you start being interested in boys or young men. Were boys able to come and visit her? How did that work?
Look, I says that I know who as kind Miss Kabin or baby is as I love who miss and not a noho as a hoi stem or just I'm lo noho who it's quen to Mrs. Wet as high lo was at as I as
ma
they never visited each other. It was more or less it was more of an adult affair. Whether you loved the person or not, it was the adults, the parents that chose your mate. And whether you cared for the person or not, you went by what your parents did.
What if you really didn't like the person? You know, would your parents ever pick someone that you really didn't like?
I imagine so.
Yeah,
you had no choice. It was up to the parents. They picked your mate, and whether you cared for the person or not, you just had no choice. You just had to marry the person.
What would happen if you did fall in love with somebody that your parents didn't pick? Could that happen? I
guess marriage in them days were more or less a sense of a security. Whether if you fell in love with another person that, you know, outside of the, maybe say the boy that your parents picked, if they seen that the boy that you're in love with wouldn't provide for you in life in the future as the one they picked, you had no choice.
Oh, I see. Yeah.
Like she says, for instance, her oldest sister, see, their father was blind, and they depended on his fishing and whatever he could get for fishing, you know, and in selling the fish and trading for food. And then on top of that, the old grandmother and grandfather. Well, her being the oldest in the family, she said the old grandparents picked her a husband that was years older than herself. He was old enough to be her father, but he was a good provider.
Mm-hmm.
So whether, and she was in love with a younger man, a younger boy her own age, and she couldn't marry him because they thought if she married this elderly guy that he'd provide for her better than the young boy would. So she had no choice, she had to marry him.
Let schon schlimmer als Christ, der durchhört mich noch wohl. Na gut, nichts kann ich verkloten. Der Geschirrschicke Christen und der Kindergeschick wird kaul. Da ist die Kommunze geschwört und man kann auf uns kaul.
Ach, da ist es so. She says the way they, like with herself, her grandmother had that belief that, like her older sister, she married an elderly man, that mm-hmm. he'd provide for her better. Well, they tried to do the same to her, and she started disobeying. She said if they forced her to marry an older person, that she wasn't going to be married to this older man. So I guess there were a few that did get yeah. their own way. You know, I took it that maybe they had to do it. Well, I guess there were a few of them that, you know, went against their parents' wishes. And she, for one, I guess she was a little bit more stubborn, and she got her own way.
What would happen if a girl was seen off talking to a boy alone? You know, a teenager, let's say.
Look, as is a week to miss no ho and no ho met scala with colle to wakus and kakako, I was quammy ape and lats to miss.
Hoha, come my blood.
Yan, which of I'll doubt also quite skates
a young sweet.
Lentic to know as a douse I quite. Okay, it's in the matter, Stuart Stan.
It's my good old tree. I better get a whole heat, she's better, it's a good. My political, my foolish, that. You're the creator, my good spatter. You get the best music. Come up, let me
see. She said prior to the priests, I guess there was a strong, feeling among the Indians that this choosing a mate for a young girl, you know, they definitely held that mm-hmm. down. But if a girl or a boy and a girl were very much in love and that they want to get married, and this boy is warned that he's to leave the girl alone, that she has been promised to another man, and he will not leave the girl alone, mm-hmm. There was a death penalty on that, especially if there was any affair between the two of them.
Well, is that why they would sometimes, a young man and young woman would run away from the tribe?
Yes, but they could never go back to the tribe. Like she says, they were outcasts.
They were outcasts. Yes.
They will not, they're not accepted back.
I see.
And if there's a thing that the girl or the boy wants to, if they're trying to get back in, this is where the death penalty. But in later years, when the priests came, even just to look at a boy, or, you know, two people, young people, just as much as look at one another, well, they were punished.
Mm-hmm.
This was being very wicked. That's what she says. Even as far as two young people, maybe say, went on the other side of the building, whether there was anything committed or no, there was nothing, just a matter of talking to one another.
Mm-hmm.
They were reported to the Roman Catholic priest, and they were lashed for that. Whether they committed anything or was just for the simple reason of disappearing behind it.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe a building or just out of sight. They were, they got lashes for that.
Yeah.
Severely punished.
Yeah. When they got married, where did they live first? Did they first of all live for a while with his parents or with her parents, or did they immediately start up their own house?
Look, as always, no ho, it's Marie's, no ho, nis, kala, kuna ha, amas,
And a nonos in Israel was doch lache ams, and a nochochos is doch lache ams. In the Hennessy, as she amelters.
As you all see, doch man is kalle, was doch lache ams. As that he might kill it, the pin to the wood. You to the start as cold as it is. The ice, the mo, that he might do in that, this man's a fat as he pees.
I guess when a young boy marries, the girl automatically goes with his parents, but it was more of a, like regardless how young the boy is, she says they married very young. Doesn't matter how young the boy is, right away he started taking a man's place in the family. He didn't depend on his father or his brother or anybody to feed his wife. He went out and he done the hunting, he went to done fishing, and but he never depended on the parents to provide for him and his wife.
But they'd go and live near his parents.
Yeah, mostly near the boy's parents.
And when... So that would mean that most of the visiting that they did, back and forth, would be among his relatives rather than her relatives?
I guess there wasn't that much visiting, but then... I guess the in-laws, they were all like one big happy family. They mostly roamed around as a big community tribe.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there was no separate...
Yeah, but they wouldn't go and roam around very much with her mother and father, or brother and sister. She'd be going with her in-laws. He wouldn't be going with his in-laws. Is that what you're saying?
She would be more with her in-laws.
Well then, in terms of uncles, like, who would be a favorite uncle of the children? Would it be father's side or the mother's side? Or would it be a father's brother as a favorite uncle, or would it be a mother's brother? If their father died, then it would be an uncle on the father's side that would look after them, or?
That's what they call LPS. In fact, I've heard this told so many times. In that day of time, the plural wives was allowed till here,
yeah,
just recently.
Mm-hmm.
So it depended on the woman herself.
This tape was recorded in the early 1970s and left with Mary Thomas. We apologize for some eroded parts. Dawn Sawyer is interviewing Christine Allen, mother of Mary Thomas, who she always lovingly referred to as her professor. Whenever she got stuck for something cultural, she always went to her mother for answers. This is one way for her teachings to be handed down through the generations for which she will be remembered.